Welcome to the One Season or Another podcast with your hosts, Skyla and Tell.
Here we'll talk about faith, family, our careers, and our adventures as a young married couple.
This episode is brought to you by the Mad Hatter Partying Event Rentals in Southwest Colorado.
And the Hamilton Brothers team, powered by the Blackmore Group, your source for all your real estate needs in Colorado.
And welcome back to the podcast. We had to take a little hiatus break, unfortunately, because it was the holidays, it was Easter, but sadly enough, more of it was the flu hit the Hamilton house.
Tell was super sick for like 6 days.
I think it's the most I've puked in my life.
And he's not a quiet puker by all means.
So
I think he threw his back out in the midst of it.
It felt like it. It definitely was not a fun time, and it was the most laid up I've been. I truly think it was one of the sickest I've been in my life.
You were pretty sick. He was so pale, too. I think he lost a little bit of weight, so join him on his weight loss.
Here's my weight loss journey. Have the flu for 6 days and puke consistently. It was every 30 minutes, too, Sal. And sadly enough, we were at a church service Saturday night. Yes. And I didn't even get to enjoy because I sat outside and puked the whole time. Ended up going home early.
Yes.
Beauty of having a good family. I'm 24 years old and I still had to call my daddy. He ended up coming and picking me up from my brother's house in town and driving me home because I could not hardly see straight, it felt like.
I stayed back with Stetson and Mary. So, backstory on that. Stetson and Mary invited us to the candlelight service, I think it is what it's called, at the Catholic church. Yeah, and it was really beautiful, but it was 3 hours long, and it was super long, but I got some really good stuff out of it. I learned a whole bunch, and I got to spend that time with Stetson and Mary by myself.
I got to lay in the truck, and I puked all over my truck.
And all over your suede boots.
Yeah, and Stetson's bathroom. And then I was like, oh, maybe this is just the, 24-hour flu. And it turned into an epidemic of truly 3 days of consistent, couldn't keep water down.
It's more like 5 days, yeah. It felt like.
And then I got better for a day, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And then I started puking again the next day. But, alas, I am better now.
Yes, he is back and better than ever.
Just a sore throat. I wouldn't say better than ever. A sore throat, and I'm pretty sure I threw a rib out puking so much. But we survived, and it kind of ruined Easter. I'd had these plans to make a bunch of cool desserts, and
your dad made those desserts.
I think for Easter I had 4 saltine crackers.
No, I don't even think that. I think you just had one bite of toast and you were puking.
It was death. It was it's truly the sickest I can remember being. I was sick with the office one time and ended up getting IV, but I got an IV here at the house.
That was fun to watch. I started making fun of him.
And, yeah, it was a joyous experience, I guess. But we're better now. And I think add insult to injury, though. Right before I was sick, Skyla decided to wreck a car.
Oh, my goodness.
The help of my mother.
Yeah. So, this is our funny story of the month. More like the year so far. Is Kim and I hopped into the truck. We were going to go get dinner. And right before I could say, I parked right behind her. And right before I could say, Kim, my cut, she ran into it. Like, back smoked it. And so now the car doesn't have a front end. But it's okay.
Yeah. Luck enough, it didn't hit the radiator. Just ripped the grill out of the Avenger.
But it's still kicking.
Yeah. If you have had the privilege in life of owning a Dodge Avenger, particularly a 2013 Dodge Avenger, you know that I've never met anyone that doesn't say, like, they're one of the best cars ever. That thing has been on the road for 6 years, more than any other car. And I put 60,000 miles on it in 1 year, and then Skyla drove it back and forth from Oklahoma for 3 or 4.
3 years,
Just, it has been the most reliable, best little car. Going over the top of mountain passes and snowstorms.
Tell jumped it one time.
I jumped it with a friend of mine in Bennett. Actually, right down from the road from Skyla's house before we even really knew each other.
It was a funny story.
On the good old Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Which is, if you live in Bennett, Colorado, you know Schumacher sucks. That road's horrible.
It is horrible, but people pronounce it as Schumacher, Schumacher. Schumacher.
I forgot I jumped that with the Wade, and that was a good time. But the car's indestructible, and it's trying to kill itself, I think. But it's...
Yeah.
How many are you driving? How many miles does it have on it?
It has 280,000, I think.
And I'm bound and determined to get it to 300,000. And honestly, like, yes. More like 4. I kind of thought as soon as we really got new vehicles, keep that thing and just turn it into, like, a little...
Demolition
or rally car, and just beat it. Because it's been beat up and drug through the mud and just refuses to stop.
I think it just needs to die in peace. Return it out to pasture. But Dutch doesn't make that car anymore, right?
Oh, I think they only made it for like 2 or 3 years. And it's... I had a couple friends, and my dad works the garage, and everyone's like, dude, if you have an Avenger, like, those things are the best. And
there's so many people that drive those things.
They're so good. Such good. Great gas mileage. The only negative is the big blind spot. But other than that...
That's pretty good.
It's reliable, and it's safe.
Yeah, definitely, like... It's missing the front end, partially of a front end.
Just the front and, grill.
Yeah. And it's still kicking it.
Yeah.
Living its best life.
It's killed many a birds and prey dogs and...
Yeah, rabbits.
I don't think I've ever... Dad hit a deer in it.
So, he hit a fawn.
Yeah, but... And it didn't skip a beat.
Nope, still kicking it.
Still kicking it. But Skyla did manage and... What was more funny is me and my dad were sitting in the house, and Dad heard the crunch. I didn't hear the crunch. I don't know what I was doing.
It was really funny.
But Mom walked in, and to preface this, I can count specifically on my hand 5 cars being backed into her or driven into in my parents' driveway, which is an extremely large driveway.
Everybody parks so close to the door, so that's why.
But Mom came in and was... panic stricken and was in tears almost of I'm so sorry.
And then I walked in and I laughed about it at first, and then I was like, oh my goodness, Till's going to be so mad at me because I wrecked his car because I'm the one that parks behind Kim. Hit me and I was super worried that he was going to be angry with me, but he was the complete opposite. He thought it was hilarious.
Well, no one got hurt. That's all that matters. No one was hurt. The cars are fine. And if of the 4 vehicles standing in the driveway, the one that got hurt was okay, the most okay to get hurt.
Yeah, right.
You know, it would have been a little different if it was like...
My
truck. But the best part was me and Dad both kind of had a moment of aha because we built the bumper. They removed bumpers on Mom's Toyota that she backed into it. And we're like, well, did the bumper survive? And we kind of ran outside to see. We didn't even look at my car. We looked at the bumper of her truck to see how our welding job held up because... move bumpers or self-welds, and it freaking took it like a champ.
There was what your dad was upset because there was 2 scratches, and he was like oh, my bumper.
No, the rhino lining on it. But
yeah,
we were like, yeah, well, at least we know our welding skills are on par.
Yeah.
So it was not a big deal, and it kind of is actually like comedic justice because 4 or 5 years ago, the truck my mom backed into my car with, I was in, and backed into a plow and left a nice old dent in it.
Was it a plow?
Yeah, it was like a plow plate deal out in the pasture.
And that was like 2 weeks after she got it, right?
Yeah, and I was... No, it was a while after, but I was messing around with some friends, and we were playing in the... We were actually shooting guns in the snow, and it was snowy enough, and all my friends were in the back seat, so I couldn't use the main mirror, and kind of failed to look on the side mirrors and backed right into it, and... Again, more comic relief. My friend Cheyenne was right in the middle. And as soon as we felt the crunch, she looked at me through the mirror and was like, huh, idiot.
And, that was a week after we started dating, yeah, right?
And it was a very idiot-laden moment. But now, an eye for an eye.
Oh, we gotta tell this story, though. Stetson took that truck, too, and drove it up to Hay Camp. And he was waiting for it because cows go into the mountains, and Stetson was waiting for this calf to pass so he didn't hit it, and this calf looked at the truck and rammed into it, And
while they were parked.
While they were parked, and Stetson and Mary came home, and Stetson was like, I cannot make this up. And after a while, Kim thought it was hilarious that a calf just ran into her. But,
it's, that truck's taking a beating, but...
It was an eye for it. It was bound to happen.
Got her new bumpers, and those bumpers saved her truck from getting hurt by the car.
Exactly.
So, it's a comic justice that mom's car, and like I said, there's been many vehicles hit there. It's just, for as big as that driveway is, you get so comfortable in some of your environments that...
Right.
You kind of fail to realize, and it becomes automatic.
Side note, if you hear some sighing or anything, that is Teal. She's sitting, she's laying down and she's ready to go to bed. But, it was a very interesting time because I swore Tell was going to be upset. What was your actual reaction when I told you?
Well, when I realized that you weren't dead and my mom didn't run you over, I think it's a privilege in life to be able to understand that some things just don't matter that much. And yeah, that car took a beating. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I can still drive. The radiator's fine. And even the hood's not even that bad. But I was more concerned initially. And then truly my next thought was I wanted to see how the welds held up on the truck. One of those things, we have extra vehicles, which is nice. We have an extra, spare, and our family always makes sure to trade vehicles off as we need with one another to help get where we're going. But I wasn't super concerned. I was kind of like, well, this might be the nail in the coffin for the car, but like we've said, that car's been waiting to die. So I was not at all worried. I think contrary to even what you or my mom thought, my mom thought I was going to be really upset.
Right.
But
I think that happens in our relationship quite often, though. Is we think that each other is way madder than what we are. But in reality, we're so laid back. It's really funny, actually, how laid back we are. And when something like that does happen, we tend to give each other a lot of grace.
Well, and as I'm an anxiety-ridden individual. We were actually talking about the other day, so we watched the movie, what's the emotions movie on Disney?
Inside Out.
And I like looked at this guy. I was like, what emotion are you, like, what would be your predominant emotion? And her quick answer was joy, which is totally true. This guy's a very happy-go-lucky person.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's yours? And I was like,
anxiety.
The purple guy. Anxiety. Yeah. And it truly is. And I was
no, that's fear.
No, fear's the red guy.
No, the red guy's anger.
Anger.
Yeah.
Fear, anxiety, whatever. He definitely comes off as like a little anxious guy to me.
Right.
But that's me. Like, I am a very anxious person. And I always have been, even from when I was a wee lad in like elementary school. And so, when you grow up with something consistent like that, you just learn to manage it. And so now, like, I don't let that subcategory of life bother me. I save my anxiety for other things like work.
Yeah.
If
you're going to close the deal or not.
Well, I'm a nervous Nelly. Stetson can attest that, like, he's the cool, calm, and collective one in that relationship. And I'm over here, like, panicking, stricken. Right. I mean, there are nights I had a deal that I'd been working on for 3 years.
Right.
With a seller that was very hard-headed about things. And, he was a businessman that knew his business well. His business wasn't real estate, but he was always on edge about things, which put me on edge. So like there was nights I wouldn't go to sleep, and I still have times like that where I don't sleep if something's bothering me.
That's when I'm like, hey, we should just take a breather, calm down, because I'm like always happy and I'm like not worried very often. So I'm trying to learn where Tell's coming from and try to help him out through those things, because marriage is mostly about helping your spouse, helping them through everything.
I'm also a firm believer, though, and some may agree and some may not. I think it's important as the leader of your household, being the man, and we very much live in a traditional marriage where I lead the household. I think it's important that you don't show those forms of emotions to your wife as much, because you are there to be the strong rock. And so I actually had a good conversation with friends from church and my mom of recent about some things. You know, you as a man, I feel like it's important to maintain the cool, calm, collective side of things. And
right.
I would say it comes out more, though, in true emergencies. I feel like I shine there, where Skyla does get a little bit more anxious.
I do.
Like, when we were down in Mexico and we had a crazy guy, bro. The one bad incident on Mexico.
Oh, my goodness.
The only thing that happened that I was like, this is the only time I've been on edge. We had just a guy with severe mental health, and you could tell he was homeless.
Right.
Homelessness leads to mental health disorders.
And he was drunk, probably.
Everyone down in their drinks, for sure. But he came up and started harassing us, and we would get harassed every now and then of like, hey, can we have a dollar or something? Well, a peso. But if you said no, man, they just were like, cool, okay. But this guy would not leave. And I was like, oh, you know.
And then he flipped us off.
But Skyla was getting really nervous. And there was two times. So the second time was a lot more funny. Showed my cool, calm, collect camp. But the crazy guy, while we were eating dinner on the beach, just, you know, was going off. You could tell Skyla was getting really uncomfortable. I mean, I was not comfortable, but also, like, this guy's, for one, if you had to fight the drunk, crazy guy, I'm pretty sure I could do it. But, like, I shine in those moments. I shine when there's a wreck or there's, like, when the car came in, you know, after everyone's okay, like, my first instinct is to make sure everyone's okay. And, like,
right.
I truly think some of that comes from having a father in the medical field and being a rural medicine. I go and help on things. We had a car wreck above our house where I was, like, helping translate some broken Spanish to this guy that just definitely didn't want to go to jail because he knew he was way over the blood alcohol limit. But,
And then tells an honorary EMT.
Honorary EMT, man. But
I've seen way too many dead people.
that's true. That's a story for another time. We will have one of those. We'll have a podcast on that one. But I think it's important to have that ability as a man. And Skyla does it better than 90% of the women I've ever met in my life. Because stuff just goes. She got thick skin for as kind and sweet as she is.
That's because I teach high school students and they're ruthless.
But the other Mexico story about freaking out, and I actually think Skyla was more nervous and anxious about this than the crazy guy, is we somehow found ourselves at this pool that we were not allowed to be at. We were at this
so
pool,
worried.
And we were sitting there having drinks. It was like the second day in.
Mm-hmm.
And these two sweet, highly intoxicated old women come down to us, and they're like, oh my gosh, hi, you should try this drink. They actually gave us some information about, like, how,
where to eat.
Well, and where the resort, like, how there's some special things at the resort. And then they're like, well, who do you know? And I was like,
what do you mean?
Yeah, I was like, you know, we people. And they're like, well, this is the president's pool. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, our hotel room's right there. So we saw it and we had to come down. And they're like, well, like, not everyone can come here. And our hotel, everyone wore different colored wristbands. And our wristbands were the most generic white ones because we just bought, like, the base package inclusive, which
we
was, like,
did not do
any form of
any,
inclusive.
Yeah.
So. But these gals had, like, because they were there for, it was a, they actually had it through a timeshare. But they're like, this is the president's pool, so not everyone can be here. And so
you have to know somebody.
Yeah, and they were like, who do you know? And Skyla was, like, freaking out. She quickly, like, hit her band on her wrist and sat there. And I was like, oh, we know Ramsey. And they're like, who's that? I was like, oh, it's our booking agent. We booked this. We're hunting. You know, it's a really different thing.
And he goes, he told us to come here.
Yeah, and I will say, sometimes you just got to play the cards of, if you act like you're supposed to be there and you act like everything's fine, people are going to be with it. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're up with this guy, Ramsey. He set us up. You know, he told us, hey, this is a cool spot. Not a lot of kids here, so come hang out. And they totally believed us.
Believe tell. They did. Yeah. If I would have said that, it would not be good.
But, and what sealed the deal, though, is like, well, what room are you in? Because they had been to our resort since, like, the 90s.
80s.
80s. 80s. Every year. And I was like, oh, we're on the 16th floor. And, like, which way does your hotel room look? And I was like, oh, we have an ocean view. And because we did. And I pointed it out. And they're like, that must be part of the thing, though, is you get the better rooms, because we had a great room. And they're like,
right.
Oh, okay, well, and they left us alone on that aspect. But Skyla was freaking out.
They're like, oh, that's a great room.
Like, it's not been in our room.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to get kicked out.
And the wise words of Will Nelson, what are they going to do, take your birthday away? I was like, oh, I've been kicked out of a resort pool area like that before. And they just say, go over there, and then no one remembers it. Also, I was like, this is Mexico. We should try bribing someone.
Exactly.
So I was like, I'd give the guy 20 pesos and probably be fine.
But, so then we read the sign, and it says 18 or over.
Yeah, like, so it's maybe not these even... lazies were just making up, or alcohol might have played a part, because they were definitely not sober.
They were from Minnesota, and they were like, oh my gosh, you're here, and it's... It was really annoying, but you...
I thought it was hilarious.
You just...
I was vibing. Along. I was enjoying these two old ladies. I was like, they're going to know some cool places in Maslow. They did. We did go to one of their places.
I wish we would have went to one place.
Gringo Lingo.
Yeah, Gringo Lingo. And they were like, they have the best shrimp. And we mostly just ate shrimp. So I wish we would have went there. But it was a little pricey. It was American dollars, yeah, for sure.
But Skyla was freaking out. I would say that, like... In the moment you got to be the husband, I was shouting. I was like going, and I was loving it because I was like, these ladies have no idea what's going on. And I know we're not supposed to be here at this point, but I am not leaving because, for one, I'm not going to let two older ladies that are just really drunk force me out of a pool that no one was actually in.
Right. They were all sitting in the hot tub.
Reading books. Who goes on vacation and reads a book?
Well, I did bring a book. You just wouldn't let me read.
Yeah, because we were there to enjoy and watch the birds and stuff and talk to the locals.
Those ladies were considered locals at that point.
We, like I said, there's some of it is if you just act like you're supposed to be there, you know, it's the old myth of, like, you've seen guys do it on the internet, but, like, wear orange vests and they'll go into like parks and just act like, hey, we're maintenance, and they get in there and do stuff. And then you see the orange vest dude riding the roller coaster.
That's hilarious. But Tell does make a good point that he's like the head of the household, so he needs to have that mindset too. But it's also okay to have a little bit of anxiety. You just need to work through it too as well.
Was it, well, it's the old metaphor goes, live life like a duck, look cool and calm on top of the water, but paddle away underneath. And that's, I show, because like I said, when I grew, growing up, I was so anxiety ridden. It ruined so much for me as a kid, because I missed out on doing things and being around people, because I was so worried about whatever the world ending thing was at that point. Also, congratulations, everyone. We didn't die or get raptured today on the eclipse. We're on the internet. Everyone's like, the eclipse is happening. Something's going to happen. And
yeah, something.
You know what it was? It was kind of dark at the house for like 2 minutes.
It wasn't even dark in Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
When I took some students out, fun fact, natives can't see the eclipse or do anything outside. Yeah, supposed
to stay inside and like pray all day.
Yeah, and so I had some native kids that were not allowed, like they did not go outside. And so the other ones, we went and we looked through the welding helmets, and I had one particular student, and she goes, yep, that's the sun, and she walks right back in.
It would be cool. I saw some videos of, like, Texas in the...
Yeah, what when they it call was, it? Like, the, dark.
Yeah, and that would be kind of cool to see. I remember, was it 2000? I was still in high school.
It was, like, 2017.
17 or 16. We had one, and it got dark here, like, for about... 5 minutes. It was like, if you, I always, it was like today even a little bit. If you've ever watched Breaking Bad and how they make the whole show yellow, like that weird hue of yellow, that's how it felt at the house.
Were you in school during that?
No, we were, it was like a weekend because we were babysitting a bunch of my two little cousins and then a family friend, Reese. And so like, it was like a fun like learning thing as we went outside and put on welding helmets and looked at the sun and the thing and then went back in and learned about it, but we had a little boy. He was probably 5 or 6. He was so terrified. He thought the world was ending because he's like, it's not supposed to be dark right now.
Oh, my goodness. I was in school, but it was like later in the day.
It was like a Friday. Oh, we had those weird, every year it seemed like some days were like, oh, this year we're going to do half days on Wednesdays or no school on Fridays. So I was definitely, I remember sitting down at the house with Mom.
And looking at it.
But so, congratulations, world. You survived.
We survived another eclipse.
Another eclipse. But back to, anyways, off that little topic.
Off the Rabbit Trail.
Off the Rabbit Trail, yes. It was, Skyla does do a really good job, too, with, like, which she kind of mentioned, the grace. I think grace is a really hard thing to learn in marriage. And it's a big thing, because we've had moments of disagreement and...
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to call it arguments. We really have not had a moment of true argument.
We had one true argument, and that's because Tel started making fun of my horse.
Oh, and he
said, we're going to sell it. And I lost it.
Pretty sure I was game to just say we should eat it. I totally advocate for that.
And Rusty, it was down at Kim and Rusty's house, and they thought it was hilarious. And Kim was a professional barrel racer. They lived it.
Dad had the same feelings about horses as I did.
And so Rusty was like, Tell, you're not going to win this. You're not going to win this battle. And Kim was definitely on my side, and she's like, you need to support your wife.
I think the funniest thing is my grandpa, where our horse is actually at, is like, kill the thing. I'm going to kill it.
No, he threatens to kill it all the time.
I'm telling him, but if it killed, like, I would totally try to eat it. I would like to eat horse.
You're not eating my horse. This is why he's my horse and not our horse.
I would like that. That's some of my reason for advocation of that is I want to eat the. I would like to try horse. I've heard it's good.
Can't you eat that in India?
I mean, you can eat. They eat it in France all the time. It's a delicacy.
Yeah, but that's a no for me.
I think, look at it this way: horses were brought over to the North America by Spain, and when we got them to America, and as Western civilization modernized, we created this pet thing with them. But they are no different than a cow.
I mean, they are.
No, they're not, though.
They definitely are.
They, okay, for one.
It's different.
Equine. So they fall into the category equine. What is the other equine that you do eat? Zebras. People eat zebras in Africa all the time.
Okay, but that's a different.
That's like, hold different. On. That's, this is like this thing of, would you eat a potbelly pig? Or would you only eat like a Duroc? Because technically, those are the same thing.
They are the same thing.
And so is a horse and a zebra.
No.
It's a moral conundrum. Because we've created horses to be this pet.
Because I would not eat my horse.
And it's really a Western American thing. Because like I said, in France, they use horses for pleasure, but they still eat them.
See, my personal... Okay, if I looked at a cow, I'll be like, that's a nice cow. I would eat that. And a horse, it's like the mountain lion deal. I just can't do it. I don't think I could do it. If I was dying, then maybe, possibly. If there's no food left on Earth.
But there's horses.
But if there's horses, then I would eat a horse.
And I think what really changed it, though, is we started using them as a mode of transportation. We don't use cows as a mode of transportation, so we don't, or we can, like, totally justify eating them. But people, like, it's a feelings thing. And it's like this, we've created this moral dilemma of where does the food chain on meat stop? And where does, right. Because like Asian countries eat dog all the time.
But that's so, it's like coyotes.
Oh, and see, I would rather eat a domestic dog than a coyote.
For sure. I would eat a domestic dog over a coyote too. However, it's still the same, like it's still gross to me. I think horses are not a predator, but.
So when we go to Africa next year, if we get the opportunity to eat zebra, would you eat it?
I would try it, but I would have this moral dilemma going on in my head.
I think you would until you see zebras, because they're not cute little horses. They're really mean.
They are mean. So, that's why you want to shoot a zebra, right?
Yeah.
You want to kill a zebra.
I do want to kill a zebra. I don't kill anything I can in Africa, because it's all super cool. But
right.
I also want to eat the zebra. And I would, if someone offered me horse, and it wasn't like some lamed up, dead, dying horse in there, no.
Like the wild horses off of the reservation? Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Some of those look kind of tasty.
See, I don't, if I'm going to eat a horse, that thing better be like muscle.
So are you like even like sicker you want to eat like a foal? You're like, you want that fresh baby veal horse meat?
No, I want like. It's like your cattle, you know, you want some fat, you want some muscle in there.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. I think you want a good health.
But reservation horses, those things, they live off the land. Yeah. Like, they don't get any nutrition.
So if we bought a horse and it was like grain, we fed it out grain, would you eat it?
No.
Okay, well,
Lance
feels a donkey. Does that line cross over to, like, mules and donkeys?
I wouldn't do it.
A Shetland?
A Shetland pony. So it would not
be. And so that begs the difference, you know, what's the best tasting horse? Like, is it a Clydesdale? Because they got all that. I feel like the Clydesdale would be really chewy like gamey. But, like, little, like, Shetland pony, that thing's probably, like, tender.
I can't believe we're having this conversation, but that's okay.
It's like, these are the questions people need answers.
I feel like we need to go to France. I think a quarter horse would taste better.
I want you to ask all your students, like, I want you to start taking a poll in class, what would be the best tasting horse?
I honestly think would be a quarter horse.
Anyone's listening to this and has eaten horse, I want you to feedback. I know one guy, Mr. Hudson, up in
Rifle.
He's eating horse.
And he's the ag teacher in Rifle.
And he said it was great.
See, honestly, I think a quarter horse would taste better because it's that happy medium, you know?
But, so, like, if you had, like, a track horse, you know, those things are just pumping out the miles and really building that, like, strong muscle.
But then you don't have fat.
Exactly, so...
Fat adds flavor.
Yeah, where there's fat, there's flavor. Guy Fieri.
So
Shetlands, honestly, would probably be the best.
No, because they don't have... They're mostly just fat. If you compare...
A good pork, you trim a lot of that fat off. So if you buy trimming it, are you getting, like, what's the Wagyu of horse meat?
Probably a Shetland.
Or is it like a heritage breed, like a Shire?
No, Shires are too big. They're too muscled up.
What are the little ponies they ride over in Mongolia?
I can't remember what those
things are. Those Mongolian horses. They're like the perfect size.
See, I still think a quarter horse would taste better.
But I thought too, Joe, there's quite a bit of meat on a horse. You could feed some people with a horse.
You could.
Like.
Isn't it India? Don't they eat horses? No.
A lot of countries eat horses. A lot of European countries, I think, is where it's mainly at. Eat horses.
Which is weird. In my personal opinion.
But again, is it. And they ride them over there and stuff. They use them as utility and pleasure. And it's totally. I think Western culture has created this thought of, like, should we eat horse or not? Now, I've heard some people say it's great, really gray meat.
I could see it. I feel like it would be really greasy. I feel like it would be similar to, like, mountain lion.
I wonder if you could get, like, the Yumly app and be like, horse meat, and if they have anything.
Are you looking that up right now? Are you trying to decide what kind of horse meat is good? We went super off topic.
These are the important questions.
But these are the important conversations to
have. Oh, so here you go. Dutch sour meat stew. Limburg zero something.
Is that horse?
It's horse. Supposedly. This is what this says. Ingredients.
Well, what kind of horse is it?
It just says horse meat. 2 2/3 pounds of horse meat. It actually has horse meat in here like 4 times, and then beef. So you cut it, apparently. So Yumly has a horse gram sabuzi. Here's a stew. I'm just saying, if a global recipe app has horse meat on it, it's, you know, it's got a thing.
So
we need, like, a German friend, a Dutch German.
When I look this up, it says, while horses being hoofed animals come out basically the same as cattle. I disagree with that statement, but that's okay.
Why do you disagree, though? What's the difference?
Oh, so the sirloin, tenderloin, and ribeye. So they still have those cuts of meat. But
you'd probably be hard up in America to find a butcher that knows how to cut a horse.
This is true. I feel like that'd be a little difficult. But a lot of people say horse meat is delicious.
I think so. I would eat horse over dog.
It's especially unique.
Real question.
And forget it.
Can we buy it in America?
I feel like PETA would have something to say about that.
Those people are... I actually saw a thing the other day, and it talked about how PETA was, like, one of the... It was so outlandish that it only did negative for their cause. Because, like, you see PETA people, like, wrapping themselves up, like, barbecue.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Russian... Now, see, here's another dilemma. I'd eat fresh, but you can buy canned Russian horse meat. I don't feel like you want to eat canned
Russian...
You can buy a 50-pound tote of horse meat.
This says horse meat has a slightly sweeter taste.
Oh, well, here's one. Jerky. Would you eat a jerky? Because I feel like jerky is even different from, like... Like, I feel different eating deer meat that's jerky versus, right. like, you know, a venison chop.
You know, I would try it if it was in jerky form. And then go from there.
I bet it's expensive.
Well, there's a lot. And since it's not common...
$3 per pound, so nothing.
Oh, U.S. says horse meat is dangerous to humans because of the unregulated administration of numerous toxin substances.
Well, and that's just because we don't have a system.
Well, that's because we don't vaccinate them like we vaccinate cattle. That's true. You know?
And we just don't like have a checks and balances system on horse meat like we do other, you know, there's
right.
pack houses. There was a packing house in Albuquerque for a long time, but it was for dog food.
Oh my goodness. You're not going to believe what just popped up. So on Google, I searched up like horse meat and stuff, and then it says, it does Taco Bell serve horse meat?
So
in the United Kingdom, yes.
In the American Taco Bell employees, y'all got horse meat back there? So you're not telling us about, like, is it carne asada or is it carne de pony?
De pony. Oh my goodness gracious.
So big question of the day.
Would you try horse meat?
Would you try horse meat? If you have horse meat, if you've tried it before, what's it taste like? And if you're that experienced, what's the best breed of horse meat?
And make sure you DM us on Instagram.
We might get some hate for this one.
We might.
But you know what? These are the important questions we need to know.
You know, people like need to realize.
And I will go on record. I'll eat horse meat.
See, I would not. I would actually, no, I lied. Because I would try it in jerky form.
I would try it in all form. Like, I think a good roast.
See, like, I don't like
roast. Like,
though.
Horses got big old back strap. You could. You could, like, spit that. Could you imagine a whole spitted horse on, like, a rotisserie? Like they do pigs? That would be something to see.
That would be so weird. On that note.
We're going to close her out for the night.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for who knows what next week, apparently. Maybe we'll get into the guinea pigs. Where's your stance on that?
So my... Okay, that's for next week.
That's
a story for next week.
Guinea pigs. What wild thing would you eat? Subscribe, like, leave us a comment on this one, please, telling us your opinion on the horse meat.
Yes.
Our house is divided at this point. And leave us some reviews so more of your friends can hear about the interesting
podcast.
Food quandaries we have at this point.
We should just start, like, change it to... Food ratings with the Hamiltons.
We can get our hands on some horse meat. We will see you next time on the podcast.